Hello and welcome. I'm Ian John and this is the Songwriters Club podcast, songwriting for the unsigned and unsung. Join me on my journey into the art of songwriting as I interview singer-songwriters and gather valuable tips and advice. This is episode 2 with the fantastic Emily Frith, and by way of introduction, she's going to dive straight in and play us one of her songs.
Day. Nice. Wow. What an introduction. Hi, Emily.
Hey.
How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Brilliant. So, tell us a little bit about that song. Is it something new?
Yeah, it's a brand new song. It's kind of like, it's just a breakup song that I went through a breakup in December and someone told me something that really stuck with me. And I think that's something that a lot of my songs come from, which is people like saying things and giving advice. And someone told me that when you go through a breakup, it only hurts so much because you give so much to somebody. And I felt like, you know, when you go through something, any kind of loss, any kind of grief, you kind of lose half of yourself alongside anything else that you lose. The whole song is kind of about like losing people. It's kind of sad, but I mean, like, yeah, it's just about.
No, that's a beautiful song. It certainly comes across the
sentiment.
Thank
you so much.
You just said. You've introduced us with your music. So let's just find out a little bit more about you.
Cool.
So this is the bit where I ask about the musician, the music, and some of the myths. Tell us about the musician. Tell us about your background and your story.
So I've been making music and writing songs since I was probably about 15 years old. So, you know, quite young. I basically just found it a way to kind of release emotions and things, especially as you're growing up and you're kind of trying to figure out life. A lot of people were like, write a diary, but I decided that I was really inspired by country music and the storytelling that goes through that. And I was like, I have stories to tell. Like, I want to tell it through music. I kind of became like addicted to doing it and I've never stopped. But yeah, I kind of started as a country music artist because of my inspirations. And that was like all I listened to. I used to tune into like radio in Nashville and stuff like that to listen to like artists that you couldn't get over here. And then as I've like grown up, I've listened to so many different like genres and artists that now I don't fit into country music anymore, but I'm still very influenced by it. And I think that I'm more probably of like an independent or like pop artist now. So yeah.
Excellent. And with the singing and the guitar, did they come at the same time or did one start before the other?
That's funny because I got my first guitar when I was about 4 years old because my teacher played the guitar and I was like, I want to do that. And as a four-year-old, your hands are tiny and the guitar is very big. So it was kind of just stuck in the back of my room for like so long. And then when I was about 11, I picked it up and I was like, I'm just going to play this and see what happens. And then, yeah, I started playing guitar and I couldn't sing at all. Like, I'm not lying. Like, there are voice memos I used to send to my friends where they bring it up now and they're like, God, I don't know how you actually made a career out of this. Like, I'm not sure how you did that. I just really enjoyed playing the guitar and I wanted to sing my own songs and I had these things to write and these stories to tell. So I just kind of taught myself to do it all at once. So, yeah.
Unfortunately, when I was at primary school, they gave us a violin or a recorder.
Oh, yeah, I did the recorder.
I could do neither. There was nothing inspiring for me in those.
No, that's true.
So I said to you, so that's the music, the musician. What about any myths? So anything, because this is about songwriting, so anything you were told along the way that's rubbish, that's a complete myth?
100%. I'm not going to say names, but there were a lot of times when I was growing up where I'd have singing lessons because, as I said, like I was not a natural singer at all. I was told on multiple occasions by many people that when you're writing a song, it has to be of a certain structure, or you have to say, you know, if you're writing a song, your bridge has to be this many bars and you have to have this kind of beat to it and you have to think about the beats per minute and you have to. And it was like so much theory and technical behind it that I was like, you're just taking the fun out of songwriting. And I would like stop songwriting for so long because I was like scared I was doing it wrong, or I wouldn't want to perform it to people because I felt like, oh, I'm just a kid playing songs, like I'm not actually singing properly. And then I realized, no, songwriting comes from emotion and what you want to say. And if anyone is singing about something that's passionate to them, you've written a song. So I was like, yeah, that was a whole lot of crap.
Brilliant. Yeah, no, that's so true. Excellent. So as is the format of the podcast, I asked you to prepare 8 tips that you could share with us about songwriting from your experiences. So let's dive straight in. Let's start off with tip one. What's tip one that you have for us?
Tip one is always write about things that bring a level of emotion. So it kind of goes back to what I just said, but I think songs come from the heart. Good songs come from the heart. And I think that if you have something to say, music is such a way to like talk about it, because I find that a lot of the time I write a lot of songs about like love, and it's because in the moment I just really don't know what the words are that I'm meant to be saying and stuff like that. But then over time you kind of process it and then you realize, oh, this is what I want to say. And it's so much easier to say it when you're just singing it, because if you're not listening, it doesn't really matter. It's just a song. But then if you actually listen to the lyrics, you're like, oh, there's a message in this. And I found that when I was younger, when I was like being bullied and stuff, I would never confront the people bullying me. But I would go and write a song about them and then play it to them. And they'll be like, oh, this is so good. And I'm like, yeah, it's all about you. Like, you have no idea. But it was like a release almost. It was like me confronting people. So it was, yeah, I think it's just about emotion.
Excellent. Yeah, so just picking up on what you've said there, and interesting about the bullying situation. So there sounds like there's a little caveat with about writing about things that bring you emotion, that, because obviously you played it back to them and they didn't know it was about them.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a case of maybe not being too self-indulgent or too obvious.
Oh, yeah.
With it, and just, would that be right? Is that?
Oh no, definitely. I think there's a lot of songs out there that will be released on the charts that are very obvious. They'll like name names and they'll say like John broke my heart or something like that. But it's like, I would never do that. I think it's just kind of like, in my songwriting personally, I will take an experience I've gone through, like bullying or a breakup or falling in love or something like that, and I will write a song that's kind of, if that person listens to it, they completely will understand. And if they listen hard enough, they'll be like, oh, okay, this is for me. But then anyone else is kind of like a story they can learn from or relate to or something like that. So it's kind of, I would never write a song specifically for one person. It's for anyone that's going through that thing. So yeah, subtle is nice.
So yeah, so it's about your passion and your emotion at that time. But when you put it out there, you're making it accessible.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay, so what have you got for your second tip for us?
Yeah, don't force it, because writer's block is real. That's what I put. So yeah, it's just about, again, like sitting in a room. I've never wanted to study music or make it into like a day in, day out career, because I just feel like if I was to sit in a room and have to write with someone, the song maybe would be great, but I find that, again, writing comes from emotion and in the moment things and slowly finding the words to say. So sitting in my room and like forcing myself to write a pop song that has this kind of beat to it and this, like, it's just not going to happen. Like, until the day that I feel like emotionally I'm on a level to write something like that, yeah, it's just not going to happen. And you end up just really burning yourself out when you force things. So if you have writer's block, it's kind of just a way to be like, right, have a break now and come back to it later and then do it again. So, yeah.
So you said it's real. So I'm assuming that you've had it at points.
Oh, yeah, every
okay.
day.
so people can sort of relate to that. When you've had that writer's block, what feelings has it caused in you? Because obviously you've taught yourself to accept it, but there must have been a time where perhaps you didn't. So what sort of feelings did you have at the time when you had that, and how did you overcome those?
I feel like it's one of those things that makes you think, oh, I'm not good at songwriting anymore. Like, I can't write songs. This is awful. Or you're like, with writer's block, you can actually write a song and then completely just not relate to it and just feel really lost with it and just really hate it. And that's, again, like, it's like writer's block. It's feeling like what you're writing isn't enough and that you're not good enough. And I remember the first time it happened, I was like, oh my god, this is it. I was like, this is the end of my music. I'm never writing again. This is awful. But yeah, it's so real. And I have since spoken to so many different musicians and artists that also have experienced it, because it's so real on every creative level. Like, I get it with designing, I get it with art in general, because it is just kind of like, you're just a bit burned out. There's not a lot to write about yet. And you've just got to find your inspiration again and pick your feet and get back up again.
Great, yeah, that's great to hear you say that. And it's interesting that when you say writer's block, it's not just a blank page. It can sometimes be that you've written something you just don't connect with,
yeah,
and you feel
definitely.
It's not good enough. So that's really interesting. Okay, so do you want to play us another song?
Yeah, definitely. So this next song is, again, a new song, and it's a little bit more upbeat than the previous one. So it's called Ready, and I hope you like it.
Take a step back and look into the mirror. You have come too far to waste away the season. Every part of me still loves you, don't you know? But every part of you still hurts from letting go. So why did he do it? Why do you turn away so soon? Why did we burn this? Why do we bury your love so good? I don't think you're ready. I don't think you're ready for me. I was waiting for you, but I'll let go so I can be free. And I went easy on you, darling, falling in for the lighthearted. Gave you space when it was needed, but you took it all for granted. Step back and gift yourself your love, 'cause you deserve the world, and the world is what you lost. So take this time to heal, just like they always say, there's someone there for you, you just don't know it yet. But why did he do it? Why did he turn my gold to blue? We were damn perfect. Maybe we lost our grip too soon.
I think we need a little bit of explanation here, because I've known you for quite a while now. I think going back, what, there must be four or 5 years now.
Probably, yeah.
And obviously heard all your music. And you opened the song up by saying this is a little bit more up-tempo. And I've heard you say this a few times about the tempo of your songs. Just explain that to us, what you mean by that.
I feel like I just write a lot of slow songs. Like, I tend to just find it easier to write sad songs. Like, I'm not fully depressed, but, like, when I write, like, an upbeat song, I want everyone to be like, yeah, it's upbeat, guys. Like, I'm just telling you all, just so you're aware, I do write upbeat songs. But no, I've always wanted to have more upbeat songs in my music, like, in albums or EPs or anything that I release. So I'm just a little bit more proud of them when I, like, yeah, write an upbeat song. I'm like, I just gotta let everybody know, like, it's upbeat, guys.
It's interesting. I mean, obviously, a lot of me doing this podcast is my journey into songwriting and that. And I feel it's almost like, for me also, a default position where I write things that are slower and things like that. And yeah, I think I'm yet to try and manage to do anything upbeat at all.
Honestly, I feel like I used to write upbeat songs all the time. And then I grew up. I realised there's a lot more sad things to write about that have
You've
better
stories. You've
just made
stories. Adulthood sound really gloomy.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, where are we up to now? So we're up to tip three from you, Emily, please.
Yeah, so it's all about taking your time, because sometimes the right words will take time to figure out. So I think with anything, again, that requires, like, on an emotional level, in the moment when you're really, like, upset about something or you're really passionate about something, the words just aren't there. You just say how you're feeling. Again, my own experience is, like, in a breakup, if someone breaks up with you over the phone, you're just gonna pour your heart out and say the wrong things and kind of come across in this, like, really psychotic way, because you're just emotional. But then take it, like, a few months down the line, you'll look back at it and look back at the whole relationship and you'll see the whole thing, and you'll realize you can actually put your feelings into better words, and not be so crazy and upset and actually like write something really beautiful. So yeah, I think it's just, again, like not forcing it and realizing that with anything, the right things take time and it's okay.
Excellent. And so when we're talking about sometimes the right words take time, so I've come across this thing called sort of placeholders or fillers.
Mm, yeah.
So it's a case of if you have to put everything down, just put everything down. If you've got the melody, it doesn't matter what words go in there at that point, even if they just hold that place. Is that something that you would do?
No, definitely. I think there's so many times where I've done it like with voice memos where I'll get an idea for like a lyric or like a melody or something, and the whole voice memo is like just gibberish. Like, it doesn't make sense to anyone but me. But then it's the same, yeah, if I'm like writing a song. If I don't know the word, I will literally just put like a rhyming word, and it would just be something like, it's like pig or something. It rhymes with the previous word, like big. So I'll just put in anything that does not make sense, but I know that when I come back to it in like a better state of mind, the word will come back better. And I've done it before with even like these kind of songs that are classed as new. I've actually been writing them for like a few months. But again, with like the myth thing, it's that you don't have to finish a song the day you write it. It's like, I've come back before and found better words later on and gone, oh, this actually, like, why would I have written it like that? And you know, that's all a part of songwriting. It's a long process, not a short one.
I think that's such an important tip to understand that when you're writing something down, it doesn't. I think sometimes you get caught into feeling that every word has to be the right word at the right time when you're doing it. Whereas, just stick it down and come back to it later, and just like you say, find a rhyming word that you're never going to use, but it just holds the melody for that song for that little bit of time.
Yeah,
fantastic. And what's your next tip for us?
Just don't compare yourself to anyone else, because we all write about different things in different ways. And I think that the amount of times I have written a song that I'm really proud of and then put Spotify on and listened to someone else's song and been like, oh, like my song's no good anymore because that's better. And then you think about it, that person has written that as a career with a label behind them, with like four people in the room with them. There's so many different professionals putting that song together and becoming something that, like, actually, like, you're not actually as bad as you think, because you sat in your bedroom and you wrote a song out of heart that was like pretty all right. So it's like, yeah, the amount of times I've just compared myself in anything, like, I just, even without songwriting, just in a creative thing, comparing yourself to someone else is like the worst thing to do, because if everyone wanted to be the same person, there would be no uniqueness or, you know, like standout ability of like any of it. And like people like Billie Eilish completely just go against the norm and go, right, I'm not going to sound like anyone. I'm just going to write music and see what happens. And she's become like a global sensation because she did that. And it's like, that's because she didn't compare herself to anyone else. She just made music that she felt was right. So, yeah.
Yeah, when I was looking at the tips that you'd written down and I came across this one, the thing that struck me was definitely the comparison and comparing other people. But when you do that comparison, that self-deprecation that possibly comes with that, and I've seen it in a lot of people, especially at open mics, when you see people, when they get up to an open mic and they've got a new song and the first 5 minutes is them explaining how this isn't very good and they're not a good singer and they're not a good guitarist or anything like that. And when I first started doing it, I was very much felt like that. And sometimes I'd step back. If someone before me was so good, I'd just step back. And it took a close friend of mine to say to me, stop doing that.
Yeah.
Just, you can stop it. Don't say anything. Just go and play. And it took me a while to do that. But I have to say, once I stopped kind of trying to compare myself or being self-deprecating, so sort of explaining to people how I'm a novice guitarist and things like that, just do it.
Yeah, no, 100% agree with that. I did the same thing when I was like starting out. So I was probably like 15. And I'd be like, oh, I'm only 15 and I only wrote this song last night, so it's probably no good, but here we go. And I find myself always saying, it's like a habit now, I always say, I hope you like it before I start a song, because I'm genuinely like, you might not, and I'm going to feel really sad about that, but I hope you do. Like, it's I do it all the time still.
But it's a natural progression, isn't it? It's a human nature to think that way. But then I suppose as you develop in your music, you realise not everyone's going to like the song.
Yeah.
Anyway, so but people will. So the song really should just speak for itself. If they don't like it, they don't like it. But putting things in their mind before you even start,
then they're not going to like it.
Straight away, it's going to create an impression that's not that's going to come from a negative point. So just let the song speak for itself and accept that. Yeah, brilliant, 100%. Fantastic. Okay, let's have another song, Emily, please.
This next song is called Goodnight.
Everyone around us is growing older. Life never stops for a moment. The stories get longer. And the places that we travel build a map upon our skin of the memories and emotions that we shared once since we were kids. I don't like change, but nobody does. I got a lot of fears when it comes to love. Everything's changing and it's because I'm getting older. So I'll say goodnight, goodnight, goodnight for now. Meet me where the sea meets the sky. For the parts of you that you gave to me for life. Oh, I look for you in the faces of the strangers passing by. This world's around my bedroom, all up here. Sweet as the worst, honey. And I'm packing up the boxes of everything I've ever known. And I'm moving through the cities like a seabird flying home. I don't like change, but nobody does. I got a lot of fears when it comes to love. Everything's changing and it's because I'm getting older. So I'll say goodnight, goodnight, goodnight for now. Meet me where the sea meets the sky if you're around. But for now, thanks for the parts of you that you gave to me for life. Oh, I look for you in the faces of the strangers passing by. I wanna hear bird songs at three tonight. Keep you awake so I don't waste no time. 'Cause I love this life with you. And it's a beautiful view.
Fantastic. Thank you, Emily. So we're about three quarters of the way through. So we're up to tips five and six. So what have you got for number five?
My tip number five is you are good enough and you need to keep reminding yourself that. So it's kind of similar to the last one, but it's just if you feed that negativity and you say to yourself all the time, this song isn't good enough, this song isn't good enough, I'm only writing sad songs, no one wants to, like, you're never going to progress and you're never going to get better because you're telling yourself the bad things. So, like, even when you write a bad song, you'll be like, oh, okay, I mean, it'll get better, like, I'll develop it. Or you'll just keep feeding yourself, like, the positive things and saying to yourself, like, I don't know, if one person has said they like the song, remind yourself that that person likes the song, which means other people probably like the song. So yeah, it's just about being like positive about your music that you write and that you create and not giving yourself such a hard time about it.
That's great. And that's made me think of two things. So the first thing I'd really like to know is, how do you yourself tell yourself that you're good enough? How does Emily tell herself she's good enough?
I feel like when I write a song, you get a kind of feeling afterwards that it's like, oh yeah, that's how I wanted to say it. That's how I write. And I think that even when I've had like a bad period, if it's like I've had like a lot of writer's block and a lot of the songs I've been writing maybe in my mind aren't exactly the things that I wanted to say, or they're not sounding quite right yet, they would develop over time. And then I'll finally come to a day where I'm like, this is it. Like the Half of Me song that I wrote, I'd been trying to write for so long in so many different ways. There's so many variations of it. And then I finally wrote that one. And I was like, that is it. I was like, that's the one I say. So as soon as that happens, I'm like, I knew it. I was like, I knew it would come eventually. And it's just picking yourself up, like knowing that that moment will come eventually. You just got to give yourself time. And just, yeah, I just always tell myself, like, if I've not written the song perfectly, I'm like, okay, we'll try again another day. Like, yeah, it's all right.
So. Yeah, I think just as people, we're very quick to emphasise the negative and not always as good as showing ourselves the positive. So we have to teach ourselves to celebrate the successes a little bit more, don't we? And let them stick just as long as we let some of the bad stuff stick.
Yeah.
So the other thing that cropped up when you were saying that was bad songs. So, you know, when you're writing songs, we all have to appreciate that there are bad ones and you have to live with those bad ones. But actually thinking they must have to go somewhere, because very few songwriters actually just get rid of them. They go somewhere. So where do all your bad songs go to live?
I can't lie.
Where do they hide?
I now write all my songs on my laptop because I just filled up too many notepads. But I now categorize my like good and bad songs by like putting a tag on them, so I'll have like a yellow dot on the good ones or whatever. But then technically, like, a lot of the like the bad ones are the ones that will probably never see the light, are you take like parts of them. So there's a song that I wrote recently that I had this like hook for a bridge, but the rest of the song was awful. Like, it was just horrendous. The lyrics just weren't there, the melody was not there. And then I started writing this other song and I was like, oh my god, that bridge would fit so well with this. And it's like you just take parts of it, so like the bad songs never really fully go in the bin, because they were written for a reason. Like, there's still meaning behind them. But yeah, I do categorize them. I do like put like, this is a good one, record this, don't record this, please don't record this.
I think what you've said there is a really, really important point about just saving everything, because you can go back. It might be a bad song, as you say, but there might be bits of it, even if it's a melody or a bridge or a line or something like that, and you need to keep them. I think certainly early on, people tend to just, if it's no good, just chuck the whole thing away and start again. So that's a really, really important message. Okay, what's number six on your list of tips?
Number six is all about living first and then writing later. So kind of, again, it links in with like all of them. They all kind of like overlay in a way. But this one is kind of just in the moment sometimes, you're not just going to write a song about it. Like, it's not going to happen. So I just feel like taking a break and like having that period of not writing means you're actually experiencing life and you're experiencing the things you will one day write about. So like in my relationship, I probably wrote only a few songs about that relationship because it was just not something that I was reflecting on yet. And, you know, you're in the moment. You're not actually like looking at it as a relationship. You're just living, you know what I mean? So then when it unfortunately ended, I got to look back at it and I was like, oh, you know what, I like that part of it. Like, oh, that's nice, I want to write about that. Like, and then you reflect on it, and it's part of like a reflective thing almost, that almost like journaling as well. Like, I keep a journal and I just write random things in it all the time. But songwriting to me is almost the same. It's kind of, when there are words to say, you write into the journal, but you can only write into the journal if you've had a good day or a bad day. Like, you can't just sit in a studio and force yourself to write every single day. Nothing's going to happen. So yeah, so it's about just living in the moment, really.
Excellent. And I've written on my notes here, I've written down T-shirt, and I'm going to explain that because when I saw this tip and I wrote it down, so it says live first, write later, and I thought to myself, something else about you is you're a designer, and I thought, you've got to get a T-shirt and put that on it.
That's actually such a good quote.
You've got to put that on a T-shirt.
I thought you were going to say
live first, write later. I just love that. I think that's brilliant. That could be a songwriter's mantra.
Live first, write later. That is so good. Oh, I'm proud of myself.
You're going to have to design
that. Let's talk about it.
Keep that.
I thought you were going to say, like, got the t-shirt. And I was like, oh, yeah, like, write first, live first, get the t-shirt right later.
I was thinking of your designer skills. I think that t-shirt fly off the shelves.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's a new merch line. Cool. Done. Yeah.
Okay. So those were tips 5 and 6. So we're now on to hear another song of yours.
So this song is called Fading. It's another upbeat one, and I hope you like it.
Love your tattoos and how I used to chase all my fingers from them. Love the days to the bar, cause I fell out of love. We were drunk in your room, just me and you. Oh, I read your poems and you kissed me out of it. Ooh, oh, we love when we're drunk, but it wasn't enough. And I don't wanna forget it, but the memories fade. And though it's been a long time since I was with you, the light on upstairs in the room where we slept. But it's been a long time since I read the review. Wrapped yourself around me in the thought that I would die. Choking on the dream of what we could have been. But this love grew on compromise, and that's why I cried all the time when you pushed me aside. And I should have left you back then when you were still a friend. Cause I don't wanna forget it, but the memories fade. And though it's been a long time since I was with you, the light on upstairs in the room where we slept. But it's been a long time since I laid there with you. Oh, the light still flickers, but it is fading. Oh, my mind still goes back to you as ever do it too.
Pull you up on something though.
Okay.
What did you say when you started? I hope you like this.
Oh, I said both. I was like, this is upbeat, and I hope you like it. Oh,
yes, God. We did. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. So we're into the last two tips or pieces of advice that you have for us, Emily. So what's your number 7?
So this one is about some songs will be emotionally hard to perform. But that's because they come from the heart and they don't always have to be shared. And this is something that I don't think songwriters really talk about, but it's the, again, like journaling, songwriting is like a way of making diary entries on how you're feeling and just another release of emotions. And there are so many songs that a lot of songwriters will write. Like, not everyone writes to release songs. Like, some people write, like me, as something to give their emotions a chance to like speak and to just kind of process things. And there are a lot of songs that, I mean, like, just are emotionally hard, like, because you've written something so personal to you and the lyrics are literally for you and someone else, and no one else is going to relate to that. But also it's just harder to play. So it's like, you don't, as a songwriter, have to release everything. And there are going to be a lot of artists out there that will never, they'll have songs that will never ever see the day of light, because not because they're bad songs, but because, like, it's just a part of songwriting. There are journal entries. These songs that people write are literally parts of their life, and that's their personal story. So it's just, yeah, like, don't always overshare. Like, it's okay.
Yeah, there's a. I think that's a really important point. And one of the things I wrote down in my notes when I was going through this was music therapy. Mm. And actually, songwriting has seen, certainly in the last few years, an increase in interest around it being used in music therapy. Yeah. For people to express themselves. And I've certainly had my own experience of working with non-musicians, non-songwriters, but getting them to use songwriting as a way of expressing themselves and putting down emotion. And the effects of it have been absolutely fantastic. Yeah. And as I say, non-musicians. And some of the stuff that... I've worked with people like Davey Howe, who's coming on to the next episode, and we've been in a room with non-musicians, and some of the stuff that they've come out with in regards to that, it's been absolutely fantastic. And it is a really, really cathartic thing to do. Even if you're just never going to go anywhere, it's really actually something really good to do. That's a really important point. Thank you. Okay, so we're on number eight. What have you got for number eight?
I've songwriting ages like a good wine. Over time, your songwriting will mature and so will you. There's always a story to write. With that one, I kind of just... Like a good wine, you know, like the ages like milk means it ages badly, ages with wine, ages great. But I just think that you can sometimes, I mean, like I'll never really play a song that I wrote when I was 15 because at the time I was at school, I was being bullied. There are so many things that don't happen now in my life. So I don't relate to it, but also it was quite immature, like I was just a kid. But then again, in like 10 years time, I'll be looking at myself now and be like, oh my God, were you really writing about that? Like, oh my God, calm down. So it's kind of like, you age, and I think your music ages with you in a good way. It's not like a bad thing, and I think that it's the wiser you get, the better stories you have to tell. And that's why when you speak to someone that's like 80 years old, they're so much more wiser than you, obviously, but they have the most beautiful stories because they've lived through everything and can tell you the story about it. And I just think that's beautiful, and I think that that's why a lot of songwriters kind of in their prime when they're actually older, it's like something that doesn't cut off at a certain age. You can be a songwriter for the rest of your life, and that's a good thing. You'll only get better, I think.
Yeah, I think that's such an important point, and it's a great one to be your number eight, because it links also into one of the ones you said before, that t-shirt motto, you know, live first. And I think with songwriting, it's something you can get into at any age. You know, and I think some people, if they get into it later in life, think, well, I haven't been doing this since I was a teenager, or I haven't had music lessons, or I haven't. But it really doesn't matter, because somebody, if you could be in your 40s, 50s, 60s, only then start to do songwriting. But the experiences that you've had in your life can enrich whatever you write down so much more than if you'd have tried earlier.
Yeah.
Excellent. Right. Well, Emily, that's gone so quick. That's gone so quick. So we've had your tips and advice. It's been absolutely fantastic. I think by way of just recapping, it'd be nice if you could just summarise them for us. So just give us your eight again, all in one go, top to bottom.
Okay, cool. I think they all kind of like overlay into each other, but it's all about writing things that bring emotion and passion. Not forcing it and like letting writer's block be a sign that maybe it's time to take a break, have a breather and come back later. And again, like take your time, because the right words take time in life to form. Don't compare yourself to others generally in life, because it would just only bring negativity into your life. You're always good enough, and you need to keep reminding yourself that and feeding yourself with positive thoughts. And then always take a break, because it is a good thing. You should live first and write later. And it's okay to not share everything, because songwriting is a form of journaling, and some of them will be quite hard to perform, and that's fine, because they were personal to you and it was your way of releasing those emotions. When you grow older, you can start songwriting at any age, but the older you get, I feel like the wiser you get, so the stories are better. So yeah.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Emily. That's been an absolute pleasure, and I've really enjoyed that. And I've got a lot out of that as well. I find this very self-serving doing the podcast. Definitely. Because I'm learning all the time. A lot of this is about me, and me hopefully trying to improve my songwriting as well. Oh, so that's absolutely fantastic. So before you play us out with your final song, because it'd be nice to finish on one of your songs, can you just tell everybody where we can find your music? I know you know all this, because you are so all over your social media and things like that. So where can people find your music? Where can people hear you play?
So you can find all my music on Spotify, Apple Music, iTunes, Google Play, like all the little streaming networks. If you search Emily Frith, spelled F-R-I-T-H, I know everyone calls me Firth. And then, yeah, my Instagram is at Emily Frith Music. And that's kind of the one I mainly use, where you'll find everything in one place. So, yeah, that's kind of it.
Excellent. And obviously, the eight tips that you've provided with us today, we're going to take a picture of what you've written down. That's going to go on the Middle Eight Podcast Instagram account, so people can see that, as well as some of the photos that we've taken during today as well. Nice. One of the things that I'd ask you to do, because I'm hoping that we've got people that are listening that are aspiring songwriters or songwriters, was maybe think of a challenge, something that they could try. So did you think of anything that maybe they could try, a theme or a challenge for them?
Yeah, sure. I think someone told me once that you should kind of like, it's like writing a story, like think of a storyline, think of a beginning, a middle and an end. And it's kind of like a way of figuring out what to say into a song. So I'm a songwriter from storytelling, which is a country music kind of thing. But if you come up with a storyline, say, I don't know, someone's just really, really hurt you. It's pretty much what every song is about. Like someone's really, really hurt you, but you're feeling more powerful because of it. Write a song about it. So there's a beginning, what happened, middle, what happened, what's that change of heart, why are you now feeling better about it, and the end, like what happens at the end. And then I feel like that would make a good song.
Excellent. So the challenge for anybody listening, if they want to, is it's that story arc. So it's not writing the music, not writing the lyrics, write down a story arc. Beginning, middle, and end, before you even pick up the guitar or start to write lyrics. What is the story going to be? Emily, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And thank you for playing us out.
Thank you for having me. So my final song is a song that I wrote when I was about 15 years old, even though I said I would never write a song, like perform a song that old. But it's called You and I, and it's one of my favourites I've ever written, so I thought I'd play it.
I couldn't find these words before, but now I'm standing here at the door, hoping you'll open up, take the shackles off your heart for me. Break up, you and I are the perfect two pieces in a puzzle that has not been completed. We won't fall apart, shining just like stars. You and I are the perfect two, everybody knows it but me and you. You can roll your eyes and go, but I just hope you know I loved you. Did you love me too? we ended it too quick. The road was endless, but you decided to call it quits. And you know I wrote a song about how I hated the way we were the past and gone. You and I are the perfect two pieces in a puzzle that has not been completed, or we won't fall apart, shining just like stars. You and I are the perfect two, everybody knows it but me and you. You can roll your eyes and go, but I just hope you know I loved you. Met in the storm, it was cloudy above, but when I looked at you, I always feel safe and warm. I fell right into your arms. Now you and I are nothing strangers. You might as well have been an old neighbor. We were once so close. Now I don't suppose you know that I love you.
Thank you for listening to the Songwriters Club podcast, hosted by Ian John, produced by Joe Lamb, and recorded at London Road Studios. For behind-the-scenes videos, pictures, and a summary of all the tips and advice you've heard today, please follow us on Instagram at songwriters_club_podcast.